This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinnidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora and welcome everyone to Neesian Footy Fridays, and of course this is the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and joining me this week is my good friend, my Cook Island Coley, Tinidau Arona. How are you, bro?
Kia ora, Sammy. I'm well. Man, what a night last night. The
big
State
game,
of Origin.
Eh?
Yep, so all New South Wales residents would be, you know, have an extra kick in their step this morning. So it was a great win, which we'll cover shortly throughout our show. And, you know, you're flying over to Fiji to cover the last
draw one for
game
the year. For last
the
one
year.
For the year.
So it's good to have you here before you jet off. But we'll also speak to the man himself, Totai Kefu, and cover the Super Rugby. Unfortunately, today we don't have Salatonga Tuki, obviously, because she would be still celebrating from her series win with the Blues last night, but we'll dive deep into the NRL round 11, which starts tonight as well. Last Friday, we had Tupou Supoanga covering for you, and he did get you a couple wins.
Did me
in
a
the
solid, eh?
Comp.
Did me a solid day. I don't know how it's going to go this week because I probably have to pick the Waratahs in rugby, so I'll just let it out there now because that's my only pick left, and I don't think they're going to get over the Crusaders, but hopefully they can continue my winning streak after what Toops did for me.
Well done, Walt. Let's kick straight into the footy news.
Hi, it's Maima Dalfa. I'm on the Canberra Raiders. You're here listening to Neesian Footy.
Didn't she kill it, eh, last night? Maima.
It's Maima Dalfa. She was unreal.
What a machine.
She's been in awesome this game and last game, and man, we're going for the clean sweep up the Blues, which will just dive straight into the Blues winning last night's series in game two, 26-6, taking the Women's State of Origin Cup. Just firstly, we'll touch on the conditions, you know, heavy rain before kickoff, and you could see the big puddles on the field, which did have a big impact on this game. When there's heavy rain, when the grounds are wet, it actually brings the field in tighter. So teams can't think run around. They have to go direct straight through the middle, which I love about rugby league and wet weather footy. You get to see the contacts. There's no excuses. You have to go straight through the middle, and it's just who can hold on the longest, who runs the ball the hardest, who makes the toughest tackles, who controls the ruck, usually wins that game. And, you know, that's what the Blues done.
It's like the ball carries as well. Like who actually holds onto the ball? And as there was a fair few times it got dislodged just for a loose carry. But those conditions, it's the first time I've ever seen probably Sydney Football Stadium like a mud track out there. So obviously the Blues handled the conditions better.
Yeah, Queensland, though, they did get out to a really good start. They you could see the tension between both sides, but they did come over the top in those first few minutes, controlling that ruck and forcing some back-to-back errors from the New South Wales, which led to their first try, Tamika Upton. Now, in wet weather footy, it's, and you know, Phil Gould mentioned it on commentary last night, sometimes it's easier to catch a high ball than the ones that are kicked along the ground, and that's how Tamika Upton scored her first try. The hooker puts a little grubber in for the Queensland on the Queensland try line, and then it was Tamika Upton who scored the try. Now, a questionable try because we had Olivia Koenig who attempted to pick up the ball, and in that attempt, yeah, she did have her hand on the ball, which grounded on the try line, in the try line, which would have meant a dropout for New South Wales Blues, but the bunker ruled it a play on, and Tamika Upton scores the first try for Queensland. But over the next 10 minutes, I think New South Wales, they just shift the momentum by biting down on the mouth guard and attacking in their defence. So what they done was they kicked long and through some aggressive line speed, some big contacts, they were able to start winning the possession in the territory game. And then on the back of that was the direct hard carries through the middle, and which led to the Tongan superstar Somai Motaofa, her first try. Now, this was a tip-on from Olivia Koenig, who played lock for Blues. And then, you know, Somaima beat a couple defenders to find herself scoring the first try for the Blues.
Southwell short ball to Kezi Apps. Great angle run again. Taken 10 metres out from the goal line by Lauren Brown. She'll get to her feet now. 20 in from the eastern touchline. Davis back the open side left from Koenig and Taupa. Beats one. They won't stop her. She slides over and scores him on a Taupa. Oh, there was a bad miss 10 metres out from the goal line. She got straight through Keely Joseph. And Somaima Taupa is able to score next to the post.
And then the Blues' second try was same play, but instead of Olivia Koenig tipping it on, it was actually Sala Tonga Tuki, who was a support carrier. The Queensland defender had to, you know, look after Sala, which opened up the space for Olivia to make the break and then again break the fullback's tackle and score the second try for the Blues, which gave them the lead leading into the second half.
Do you reckon that, so we saw two scenarios there going through the middle. Do you reckon that's where the Blues probably won that game by breaking them and going through them like that? And was it planned in your eyes, the way you saw that unfolded with Koenig playing in the middle, having options on her outside to tip? Do you reckon that was definitely planned and not so much just off the cuff playing?
Yeah, if you think of Isaiah Yeo and the way that he plays, he's got a strong running game, but he's also got a nice passing game as well. And that's the same with Olivia Koenig. She's a running threat, but she's also a passing threat. So it was a good good mixture of both players. Same play, but instead of tipping it on, she ran it herself. But it also shows the importance of support and, you know, push. And, you know, the role that Sala Tonga Tuki done there for Olivia to score a second try cannot be underestimated. Without her there, that defender doesn't open up. But then you look at the same play before, the same play that led to Samima's. She was a genuine push threat. This time Olivia gives the ball, which led to Somaima scoring that first try for the Blues.
It's such a good point that you just mentioned there. If you are running those lines, like on the outside, always be a genuine threat that you're going to get the ball, even if you don't, because it is going to hold a defender. And because they're such good running threats, especially Sala, man, of course you're going to have to keep your eyes on her and try and defend her. And the footwork from Koenig, who was unbelievable in that game, killed it.
And in the second half, they just kept that momentum towards that back end of the first half. The Blues they were just relentless, and you know, really good kicking game from their halfback, Jesse Southwell, putting it deep, and then just on the back of some strong defensive efforts from the Blues, they were able to win the territory game, scoring three tries in the second half. I love the combination of Sala Tonga Tuki and Kennedy Cherrington coming off the bench. You know, Somaima Taufa and her other middles partner in Ellie Johnston being replaced by those two pocket rockets. You just seen the intent in their defense, that, you know, that mongrel, that toughness, that really controlled the middle. Two big stats that really stood out for me: tackle breaks. So the New South Wales Blues making 46 tackle breaks, and Queensland only making 10. So that's a lot of missed tackles from the Queensland players, but also shows how hard and how tough the New South Wales Blues women were running. And then post-contact meters, 641 post-contact meters to New South Wales, 398. So well over 200 more post-contact meters with the ball in hand from the Blues. That's a combination of running hard, support carries, and just really dominating that ruck speed, which led to their victory.
Man, that's some telling stats there. When Queensland reflect back on that, they'll be looking at the fact that they just lost the contact battle, especially in those conditions.
There was some shining lights for Queensland, though. I thought Sienna Lofipo was unreal for Queensland, and, you know, topping the tackle count for both teams, making 42 tackles. She played the whole 70 minutes for Queensland, and she just was everywhere. It's cool to have her on our show on Knees and Footy as well, one of our early guests. And if you wanted to hear that one, you'll find that one wherever you get your podcast.
Nice work. Hey, before we wrap up, the Origin, just in general, the three-game series and just where you've seen the progression in women's State of Origin with the crowds, the intensity, everything about it. What have you made of it so far?
I've loved seeing the growth of the women's footy. You know, if you think back in early days of the men's and how there was a transition of where it became a real professional game and the players became professional athletes, we're really starting to see this in the women's game. You could see the way that they carried, like the way that they got around the park. You can see the even the physique, that's a big one I noticed.
Yeah.
They are genuine professional athletes, and it's not only how hard they run, how hard they tackle, but it's also the gameplay, you know, the skill, the catch passing, the kicking game, the tactical part of rugby league. You're seeing the growth of that over the last few years in the women's game. So it's really entertaining to watch, and, you know, it's only growing, and it's growing at a very fast rate. So well done to our Blues women. They have won the series, their first ever three-game series. They've won it in game two, and we will be playing game three in Newcastle in a couple weeks' time, where...
Ooh, the whitewash.
They may get the whitewash, or the Maroons will do their best to stop that from happening. So congratulations, and I hope Salah is recovering from her partying last night, maybe. Now, in round 11, NRL, I've got a few games that we will cover. Now, what I wanted to do was just look at a few matchups over the weekend. And we'll start with the Knights versus the Eels, which is kicking off shortly at 6 p.m. Friday in Newcastle. Both teams not doing the best. You know, Knights sitting at 14th place on the ladder. The Eels are still at the bottom of the ladder at 17th place. Only 2 points separate the both teams, and both of them actually coming off some close losses from last week. We do see the return of Zach Lomax for the Eels, and a big shout out to Dane Gagai for the Knights, who will be playing his 300th NRL game. So congratulations to Dane Gagai. Matchups in the middle for Newcastle Knights, we have Tyson Frizzell and the Fijian Jacob Saifiti versus the Samoan Junior Bolo for the Eels. Just like last night, if it is wet up at Newcastle, it will be a battle in the middle. Fields come in tighter, so whoever wins that ruck will usually win the momentum of the game. So
does Tyson normally play? Has he played front row much, or is he, because he's usually on the edge, isn't he?
Well, they're starting Adam Elliott at lock here. So
okay.
To have all three of them both of them on the field, Tyson Frizzell has gone to prop, but I think it's a very similar, I always say it's a very similar role anyway.
Okay.
You know, if you're in the middle, you're doing the same thing. You're carrying, you're tackling in the middle. It's just the middle third is your space. And in this one, I'm actually going to tip the Eels. I think the Eels might get the job done.
Newcastle, you reckon they're going to get the job done?
Well, they're a whole different team with their halfback, Mitchell Moses. And okay. We've seen that over the last couple of weeks where they're playing a whole different brand of footy than they were in round one. Yes, I know it is tough to go to Newcastle and win, but the Knights also lost in Newcastle to the Gold Coast Titans. So the Eels, I'm tipping them to get over the Knights tonight. Now, in another game, we have the Cowboys taking on the Sea Eagles in Townsville. Cowboys sitting at sixth place on the ladder, and the Sea Eagles two places below them at eighth. Only 1 point separate these two teams, but there are some big matchups, and I don't think we can go past the back rowers. Left back rower for the Cowboys, Jeremiah Nanai, versus the right back rower for Manly Sea Eagles, Hamole Olakau'atu. Jesus, is going to be a special one.
Who's going to dominate that edge? Because they're different style of players, but still very powerful.
You know what? The other thing we've got to take into account is State of Origin teams will be selected very, very shortly.
True.
So a lot of these players, they step up because they know that all they need is just that one big game to get their spot. And then you look at Latrell Mitchell, how he just come in after some time on the sideline, wins the game for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and now they're talking about him already going into the Blues team after one or two games. So I think it's a big one for Hamole Olakau'atu at New South Wales, for New South Wales, and to put his name forward to hopefully make game one. And then you've got Jeremiah Nanai representing the Queenslanders. So big matchup. I'm going to go just off form. I'll say Jeremiah Nanai.
Ooh,
I think he has been playing some good footy for the Cowboys. I know it's a big call, but I think it'll be a close matchup.
Especially our Manly players love listening to us, so it's hopefully that doesn't deter them from getting extra guests on.
Nah. Mate, I bleed blue, and I hope Omole puts it over him. Man, I always bleed blue. But off the bench, we've also got Thomas Mikaele for the Cowboys, and then young Fijian Caleb Navale. He played a few games for Manly last year. It's his first game this year. It's actually that player that Tupou added to my Nijin Footy All-Stars team, and he represented the lock for Fiji.
That's okay. Yeah, another one you're talking about now. When he one of the very first episodes for Fridays, actually. Yeah, okay.
So look out for those two coming off the bench. In my last game, we have, actually, before I go to my last game, who are you tipping, Cowboys or Sea Eagles?
In Townsville. You know, I'm still backing what you told me a few weeks ago where you said that Cowboys get off to a slow start because it's still very hot up there. They get used to the conditions and they finish strong. I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
I forgot to mention too, Daly Cherry Evans, halfback, understands the Queensland, North Queensland team. He's got a lot of Queensland teammates in there. So
I'm sticking with the Cows.
So, and the last one, Sharks versus Storm at Shark Park. Shark is sitting at fifth, Storm sitting at third on the ladder. And again, only 2 points separate these two teams. A cool matchup on the wing. We have left winger for Sharks, Ronaldo Molitalo, and the right winger for Storm, Sua Fa'alongo. I think this one's going to be electric. Both of them very, very athletic, both in the air and also their speed, their balance, the way that they carry the ball, very entertaining to watch. But in terms of size, there's none bigger than these two in the middle. Adam Fanua-Blake and Stefano Otoikamanu. This matchup will be a huge one. The way that they carry the ball, the way that they go forward for their team, will set the platform on who wins the momentum. And then we've also got two big forwards coming off the bench for each team. Braden Hamlin Uele for the Sharks, and Tui Kamithamitha for the Storm. Watch them two coming off the bench to add a bit of impact.
You know, when just after like being with you now and understanding the roles of front rowers and how important they are, I don't think front rowers get paid enough. Yeah. You know, for what you have to do, what you have to put your body through, you don't get paid enough.
Adam does.
He's got plenty. Across the board on average, they need to be paid more.
Well, remember, if you want to hear these games, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Sammy, this Monday, by the time we start our show, these squads will be likely named for State of Origin. Give us a smoky for the Blues and Queensland teams.
Oh, that's a good question. I'll tell you who I'm going to disagree with is Andrew Johns, even though he doesn't know who I am. But when he left Stephen Crichton out of his team.
Did he?
Yes, he said Turbo fit. He's going to take Turbo over Crichton. I was like,
oh, my days.
You are dreaming, my friend. So I just thought.
He must have not watched that game in Canberra last week.
He mustn't have.
Or the other four grand finals that he's won. Was it four or three?
Or taking the Dogs from the from the bottom to the top.
The top of the ladder.
So I'm not sure what's going on there. But I think my smoke, I'd love to see Tyrell May.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him in there. I think with his motor, his energy, I just think he deserves a crack for game one. I'd love to see him in there.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I do have to agree. Queensland, got anyone for me?
No, I don't have my finger on the pulse in that one. Do you have someone?
Yeah, I've got someone for you, but he's actually retired from rep footy. But
I like where you're going with this.
If the Blues are really dominant in game one, and they are dominant in the middle with their pack, I would suggest giving our good friend Josh Papali'i.
That's a great call.
Bring him back. Bring the mullet back. And
he's in good shape as well.
Well, he's been there. He's done it. He knows how to win Origin. He's still in great form for the Raiders. And why not bring him back?
Yeah, because if the Blues, it comes off the headline with that they bullied
Queensland's
forward pack, you have to bring in an enforcer. So that's a great smoky, even though he's played that many Origin games. But I love that pick.
Well, we'll see on Monday. And in other news, Vegas teams were announced. We've got the Bulldogs playing the Dragons and the Knights playing the Cowboys, or those four teams. I'm pretty sure they play each other. Do you go for any of them?
Oh, the Bulldogs, 100%. That's my team.
What's your thoughts on those four?
The Knights just aren't doing it for me in terms of excitement. You know what I mean? Is that bad to say? But I just...
Oh, Dylan Brown. It'll be Dylan Brown's first game for the Knights.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting. I'm keen to, after watching the UK game last year, I'm keen to seeing that whole KR and Leeds game. Is that a big rivalry? Because I know you said Castleford and Wakey have a good rivalry. Is this a rivalry game?
You beat me to it. So the other two teams that are going, which are from England, is Hull KR and Leeds Rhinos. There's always rivalry between all those clubs because they've been in the competition for so long. Recently, Hull KR are actually playing some really good footy. They've got the likes of Kalipi Tanginoa, Jared Weeder, Hargraves is there.
Big biceps Kalipi. Oh, true.
Jared's there as well. Peter Hicku, he's playing for them. And another May brother, Tyrone May, the oldest brother.
Okay, yeah, nice.
And Leeds Rhinos, they did go through a period where they're really successful, but I don't think they've been going as well recently. So what I do know, though, is they've got a very, very strong fan base. So I know that a lot of English fans will be there supporting these two teams, and you know, we'll see some North Queenslanders and teams, fans from Australia heading to Vegas to support these six teams as well. No female game, though. That's been cancelled.
Oh, okay. So no, couldn't get it. Someone was saying it doesn't fall in the window for, like, Origin and stuff. Is that right or no?
Well, that,
like, to play an Origin game there, like with the way the game three game series now, it just doesn't work by having that at the start and then trying to play two later on.
And the NRLW season starting later, girls just, they're only 1 week into preseason now.
Yeah.
So if you think that Vegas game, and then if they did have a women's game, it'd be a lot earlier than when they even need to start training for NRLW season. The PNG Hunters, they play the North Devils in a top-of-the-table clash in Brisbane on Sunday arvo. Josie Fleekomp has a bye, so the Kavita Silktails will be resting. Maybe we'll see them down at the Drua game at Churchill Park.
Very true. Hopefully we'll see them down there. Last home game for the Drua.
And in Rarotonga, the Rarotonga 13's final is being played, where the Arirangi Bears take on the undefeated Tupapa Panthers at the National Stadium in Nicol.
That's my team now, Tupapa Panthers. Ever since you gave me that shirt, that's my team, Tupapa.
That's my dad's village. There you go.
Shout out Tupapa Panthers.
Up the Tupapa Panthers, Arirangi Bears, the home of the Iros. So Keo Iro. His dad as well.
I think Kevin Edel. Pet Cowan as well, who we had on. His family's Arirangi Bears as well.
Well, so, big final. All the best to both teams. And let's shift over to rugby union. Damn, that was a lot of rugby league.
A lot of rugby league, but I loved it too. Plenty of good games happening, especially that Origin game last night. But yeah, we will shift over to rugby union. And I just want to start with, actually, from here at Nijin Footy, just want to pay our respects to Flying Fijian, Josiah Raisunge. He tragically passed away last week in France. It was big news across Fiji for the Drua players who played with him. Just seeing all the tributes flowing in on socials. And it was just heartwarming to see all the, because he plays in France. It was heartwarming to see all the French top 14 clubs, you know, just pay their respects to Josiah before their games. And I just want to say, may you rest in love, and our thoughts and prayers with you and all your loved ones on that. Moving over to the Drua, Western Force game. This will be the final home game for the Drua, and this game will be played in the Sugar City at Churchill Park, Lotoka. I know it's been a rough season for the Drua, but the positive sign here, T, is the fact that they are looking to go 9 straight at this ground. So that's big for them, and it's obviously becoming a big fortress for them in the Sugar City, and it could keep their streak alive at that ground. And of course, we're going to talk to the great man Tota Kefu a bit more about this game, but I feel that they're going to go out with a bang. 5 big names will be playing their last game for the Drua on Fiji soil. We'll see Yusefa Masi, Tevita Ikanevere, Celestino Ravutamanda. I know Vuate Karawalevo and Caleb Munts aren't in the 23, but I'm sure that the Drua players will want to send those players off on a good note in front of their fans, because they've been wonderful servants in the Drua jersey since it started. And we'll shift over to the women's game. The Wallaroos take on USA in Canberra. A few changes to the Wallaroos starting lineup from the team that lost to the Black Ferns last week. We see Tanya Naden start at hooker. Ash Masters, Cook Islander Ash Masters, will start in the 7 jersey. I think especially after that massive shot that she put on last week, she was outstanding off the bench. And Faitala Moleka, she was starting at fullback last week, but now she moves into fly half, which I believe is her best position. I feel like she understands that game now, when to run, pass, or kick.
Just get the ball in her hands.
Get the ball in her hands. She's a natural footballer, and I just feel like she's now starting to understand how to manage her team and get them around the park.
So plays what's in front.
Plays what's in front, but also with that understanding, how to find momentum again. So, you know, sometimes ball players, if their strength is to run, and they always try and run themselves out of trouble, even if like they're stuck in their own half, they'll still try and run.
Yeah.
Where I feel like she's got the balance and understanding now to go,
This ain't working.
I need a kick.
So it's what makes Nathan Cleary so good. It's like,
exactly right.
He can change the momentum for his team just by kicking early, 40-20, or even just a long kick. But also he's got the awareness of when to run and pass.
Now that you're spot on there, and it's a big part of union. And I feel like when just going back to Super Rugby with the Drua, I still feel like that's the area where they're still trying to figure out, even though they've got their style of game, the fact of the matter is you just can't play that for 80 minutes. You're going to have to find a different way to find momentum. So it's a good choice having Faitala there in the 10 jersey. And we also see Fariki Pohiva. She comes back onto the bench. And it's good to see Tambua Tui Nakavandra. She's still starting at 8. You know, if you want to listen back to that chat, make sure you go find us wherever you get your podcast, because it was a wonderful chat with her growing up in country New South Wales, actually. And basically, we're going to get more news from our great man, King Kefu from Japan, and just check in to see how his Kintetsu liners are going, as well as confirm if he's the coach. Yeah, T, you brought that up with him last week, eh?
Yep. Me and Toots hit him up with the question, and it'll be cool to...
Was he a bit shocked, a bit surprised?
He was probably surprised that we knew more than what we should have.
but probably knew more than what he knew.
Yeah. But yeah, let's dive into that story when we get on to Tota Kefu. But first, let's add a couple more names to our All-Stars Nijin Footy team.
The Nijin Footy All-Stars!
Each week, myself and Sam pick some players from league and union, and we add them to our squad to then choose a starting team of the year at the end of 2025. So let's start off, Sammy. Rugby union, 2 players to add to your list or your squad from last weekend.
Yeah, Fijians today, both Fijians, my forward and a back, and number 8 for the Blues last week, Hoskins Satutu. He was fantastic in the 8 jersey. Honestly, got his team on the front foot. Plenty of carry meters, broke tackles, and I'm hearing whispers that he's eligible for Fiji come Test footy time, switching allegiance from the All Blacks, and he could also represent England as well. But I believe there could be a smoky. Could be a smoky to be lining up for the Flying Fijians. I hope
he's done his 3 years.
Done his 3 years. last test match. So that could be a big one for them. But he was outstanding on Fijian soil, you know, in front of family and friends. So hopefully that there's more to come with him playing in Fiji. But my other one is Daniela Rakuro, the winger for the Fijian Drua. I love this because round one, it wasn't selected for round one, round two, and I believe that they were almost going to show him the door and say, no, this is your last year. Played himself into the team because of injuries, but also training well. And I think he's been a shining light for the Drua on the wing just with his efforts off the ball because he's a natural ball carrier. But he's doing a lot of work off the ball, some covering tackles, just doing his best for the team. So I thought I'd put him in there as well.
Great choices. In rugby league, I've got two Tor Samoa players who really stood out for their teams last weekend. First one is young Blaise Talangi for the Penrith Panthers. He had four try assists and one try against the Cowboys. I think the way that he's really starting to find his feet at 5'8", starting to understand his role. When I watch him play, they've really simplified their game plan for him. So he's either just thinking run first, and because he's thinking run first, he's seen opportunities and he's been able to, you know, get that pass on as well, which led to four try assists. And he's also got a kicking game. So Blaise Talangi, welcome to the crew.
Yeah, that's a great pick. Love it. I love it.
And the other one, I could not go past his performance on the weekend there. Big comeback. The Bulldogs skipper, Stephen Crichton.
Is he not already in your list?
No, he wasn't on my list.
Oh, that's surprising.
Fair enough, though.
What way to put him in now, though?
Well, I think just the way that he stamped his name on the game and led the charge for that big comeback. I think it was 20-0 at halftime to the Raiders. Yep. And the way that he just got early ball, that play where he's holding it with one hand in his right hand like a tennis ball.
It's a great photo.
And he goes and sends the wing away with a big dummy, brings the ball back in, left-hand palm. Then he had two try assists on the back of that try as well. Stephen Crichton, he will be joining my squad, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's in my team at the end of the year. So that's us for our All-Stars picks. Now let's get straight to Tota Kefu reporting live from Japan.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Tota Kefu!
With Tota Kefu.
Yes, each week we're joined by a Pacifica rugby legend. He played for the Wallabies 60 times and coached the Ikaletahi for 7 years. He's now in Japan coaching the Kintetsu Liners, and he joins us right now in Japan from the office. He's actually doing some work today. Tota Kefu, welcome, brother. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Sam. Thank you for that introduction, as usual. Yeah, the Kintetsu steam train keeps going, eh? We had a good win last week. All we got left is a promotion relegation game over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mentioned that the other week. It's always those ones where like you're happy that you won, but you also at the same time maybe not, because you don't get your extra 2 weeks holiday at home to get an early pass. But it does steam on. And who are you playing? And promotion relegation, that mean are you going into top league or League One, whatever it's called?
Yeah, so we play against the second last team, which is Honda. So that first division, they finished up the other week as well. So we've got Honda home and away. You know, they've got some good players. They got Banksy at fullback there and Pablo Matera in the back row, a couple of Springboks in there as well. So it'll be a tough game for us.
For all our new listeners, for Kintetsu, you also have Quade Cooper and Will Guinea. How's their form been recently?
They've been awesome. They're playing some really good football, and by the looks of it, looks like they'll finish up after this year. They're on the hunt for other clubs, but I think if there's nothing out there for them, they're more than happy to finish up, which is great motivation for our team and to really do well.
Yeah, I can't believe they're still going, actually. So we were same Aussie schoolboys with those two, 2005, so it's 20 years now since we played schoolboys together with Willie and Quade. So yeah, it's good to see that the old bulls are still kicking around. And I wasn't here last week, and I can't believe you held this from us, and I knew I'd find out that you are going to be coaching that Pacific and Indigenous team.
It looks like it.
Oh, don't go there. It looks promising.
show actually went really smoothly last week. It was probably one of the best shows we've had.
Stop it.
Yeah, it flowed pretty well. I'm actually waiting for you to ask Sammy how he found out the news.
Oh, do you want to know how I found out?
How?
I mean, I was in the lounge in Fiji, and I was with the CEO of Rugby Australia, Phil Waugh. And okay. Then we're just, you know, having breakfast there before we got on the flight. Asked me what I've been up to. Just said, yeah, doing a bit of radio. I said, oh, yeah, Toto comes on every Friday. And he goes, oh, Toto, how good is that? He's going to be the coach of the Pacific and Ninjas team. And I was like, oh, is that 100% confirmed? And he's like, I think so, yeah, unless you've heard anything different. And I was like, no, it's just good to know. So
straight on our WhatsApp group. Oi, you'll never believe it. Totai Kefu's the coach.
Well, there's a couple of details that we had to iron out, you know, with a lot of stuff happening here.
Payments.
I was going to say it's numbers and extra zero. It's
payments.
No. For love, not money. Like, like myself being in Japan, it's for the cultural experience. I think in the next week or so they'll announce that, I think. So all the details have been all done. So, yeah, looking forward to it. What a bloody unbelievable experience.
Oh,
so,
beautiful. Okay. So they'll announce it, but the whole of Pacific will know before they announce
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. Breaking news. We are breaking news. And just before we move on from this subject, so I know there's a queue in terms of people getting on the junket, how far up the queue is myself and T?
Oh, we tried last week, bro.
Right, Toops, get out of here, boy. You're not coming. It's my mate here.
Just up for blokes, I'll put you up the line a couple more spots.
Couple more, sweet.
Where's the game being played?
Yeah, where is that game being played?
So it's in between the first and second test in Melbourne. I think it's on a Tuesday evening after the first test.
Oh, we might have to get down there.
Yeah, we'll try and find a way. We'll find a way.
We'll find a way.
I guess when it gets officially announced, we'll ask you a bit more about your wish list and who, like, the parameters around your selection. So if that's all right, but we'll save that for when it's officially announced. Is that all good?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good.
Perfect. All right, let's go into Super Rugby this weekend. This will be the Drawers' last home game at Churchill Park, and they take on the Force. Obviously, probably one of their poorest performances I've seen in Fiji was last week against the Blues. But, you know, how did you see that one? And can you see them getting the job done here in at Churchill Park?
Yeah, look, I think, well, Lau Tok is a bit of a stronghold for them. Not too many teams win there. You know, with the Force travelling, and I think they're resting a few players as well. It should be a game I think the Drua can win. But last week, geez, they bumped into a Blues team of 2024, didn't they?
Yeah.
They were really clinical. Drua, again, is the same old story. Just couldn't hold on to the ball, you know, ill discipline. I think the territory ended up being nearly 65% at the end of the game. Just couldn't get out of their own half. But on the other hand, the Blues were absolutely outstanding, clinical. Really direct. They carried clean's probably the best in the competition. Really aggressive. It's just a really good performance from the Blues. And like I said, they're on a bit of a roll. They've got some momentum now. Really important game for them this week. But geez, those top teams, I'd watch out for them.
I asked you last week about how the Drua would be motivating themselves for that game against the Blues, and you mentioned, you know, some of these players are playing for a Fijian jersey, flying Fijian jersey. So this week, as a coach, would you mention to try and motivate them the
Definitely.
Threat of taking the of receiving the wooden spoon?
Yeah, look, I think there's no chance they're going to make the finals, I don't think. There's only a couple of games left. So, that's the biggest motivating factor. Also, you're still representing the Drua and your family. That's a big carrot in itself. I see, again, Jacko's made a host of changes for this week. So everyone's going to get a run. So everyone's going to get an opportunity to try and play for that Fijian jersey. They've got a massive program this year, plenty of tests. So even if you do miss out, there could be opportunity down the line to play a test.
And just on top of that, with that motivation that there's five players that are playing their last game for the Drua on Fiji soil. We saw Yusuf Amasi, Davide Ikanevere, Celestino Ravutamanda, Vuate Karawa Levu, and Caleb Munts. They'll be all finishing up at the Drua. And I was just having to think of, you know, some of those players have done well but probably didn't fire as much as last year. What's your thoughts around, I guess, how players now need to manage, because they're going to go overseas, say if they sign early, around their preparation of knowing that there is a carrot where they're going to get paid a lot more overseas, but still making sure that they're getting the job done with their current team, managing their preparation? Like, what would be your advice around for players to continue to prepare well, and even though you are going to get paid a lot more, that the job isn't done yet until you actually are over there?
Yeah, look, that's a bloody good question, Wakesy. Look, you know, the players are doing what they love. They're playing rugby, but it's a professional sport and there's money to be made. So they need to weigh that up. And if you want to keep making money and keep playing, keep having a job, basically, you need to keep performing. And to keep performing, you need to prepare really well. You know, and I think that's probably one of the things that people have always said about Pacific Islanders in terms of their preparation, that we're a lot more relaxed, I suppose. We're not as professional as, say, European players. That's one thing that we can, I think, as Pacific people can get a lot better at, I think. So that's a massive work on, I think. Really good for players to experience overseas, because that's a whole different world. I mean, you need to live and breathe rugby, and everything goes towards performance. Your diet, your recovery, everything around those types of spaces, which, you know, at times, and we're all guilty of, we're a little bit relaxed around those kind of things. We need to really chip away at that and make that really a priority.
Yeah, I think we have one of the greatest examples in our own Pacific, within our own Pacific players in the great Adi Savia. And we're hoping...
Yeah, you're not wrong there.
Yep. We are hoping that we'll get him on our show very shortly, and I'll be asking him about his preparation and how, you know, how he prepares for his games. But moving on to the Moana and Adi, you know, they take on the Blues this week, who are on top of them on the ladder in the top six. This could be one of the biggest games of the year. Do you think the Moana can get the job done?
I definitely think so. They really have to be diligent around their set piece, has to be really strong. They really have to be disciplined. And we've seen glimpses of that. You know, the good thing about this clash is they play very similar styles. You know, they get into the 22 and they carry clean, one around the corner, very physical. This is going to be probably one of the most physical games we've seen all year, so really looking forward to it. But those things around, I think the battle at 5-8 is going to be really interesting. Pellegrini up against Barrett. I thought Barrett was outstanding last week with his kicking game. So I think whoever controls the territory battle here is going to go a long way in securing a win. But, yeah, it's going to be a bloody interesting game. They certainly can do it, Moana. But you think the Blues, they've got a bit of momentum now, and they're playing well at the right end of the season.
Just going a little bit off topic, Sammy Pellegrini being your cousin.
I thought you were going to say Sammy Pellegrini. Who's
that? No. So Pellegrini being your cousin. Did you ever think a couple of years ago that would ever hear the matchup of Pellegrini and Barrett?
Oh, man, no. Honestly, no. And I think, like, when you put it like that, and him coming up against, like, you know, other superstars as well, and just the same sentence, his name and him coming up against those type of players, it is a moment where you reflect back, and you would have done the same when you played. Even I played against some of your childhood heroes, and you go, ah, man, that's pretty amazing. And you get to see that, and you get to test yourself against the world's best. So it'll be a good matchup. And I think, to your point, Todd, with the Blues, they do nothing special. Like, in attack, it is just that brute force. So I'm really looking forward to the contest between the players, especially the forward battle, and just who's going to get the upper hand there with the physical battle. So we'll see what happens on that one. But I do like the way Minor Pacifica painted the picture that it was sold out. Did you see that on Instagram? The the grandstand is sold out. So there's not the whole game sold out, but the grandstand is sold out, but the hill's still available. So with the split there, they were saying that the Blues are the bigger brother, one is the younger brother. What's your feeling here? What's your feeling here around the big brother versus the little brother, and who's going to get on top?
Oh, look, that's a great mentality to take into the game. You know, Moana being the little brother. What great motivation is that, you know, for the little brother to beat big brother up? I think those players, like Artie, will have them absolutely chewing on the bit before they run out, you know, and there's going to be a lot of families out there. I can't wait till the game's being played. It's going to be, I think, one of the matchups of the season, I think.
Yeah, you're not wrong there.
I might have to tune into this one.
Make sure you do, T, because there's going to be some questions on Monday around this game. So,
yeah,
it'll be watching.
I think Moana have got an advantage in the back row, eh?
Oh, yeah, would you say their back row trumps the Blues' back row?
Definitely.
Yeah, we've got, Miracle Failangi, Ari Sevilla, and obviously probably the form number 8, Semisi Tupo Tailoa. I think they've been the meter eaters for Minor Pacifica. So if they're going to get the job done, they're going to be relying on those three players for sure. The other game, the Reds, with all the injuries that they've had, even with the distraction of Les Kiss being the Wallaby coach, they're the real deal, I believe, because they've had some adversity in their team. 14 injuries, I believe.
Yeah, they have got a few injuries, and they're playing down in that wonderful part of the world, Canberra. it's a fortress for the Brumbies down there. Look, if they can get over this game and come away with a win, they're certainly top four material. But this is a crucial game for them.
When I think of Reds and Brumbies clashes, obviously some great ones over the years, good rivalry. For yourself, what's your best memory or fondest memory playing against the Brumbies in those glory days when the Brumbies were actually on fire, even though they are now, but, you know, the George Smiths and those type of guys, Jim Williams back in the day.
In Canberra? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, just playing against them because they're a tough team. Oh,
yeah.
They were a tough team. They played good footy too. They moved the ball around. You know, our goal was always, well, my goal personally, every time I played teams like that who probably were marginally better footy teams than us, was, okay, who's their best player? All right, now, if you can get him in a ruck or in a maul or something, you know, bash him up or do something to him to just try and put him off their game. That didn't help too much. You certainly can't do that these days, but back then you could do that.
That's old school mentality right there.
Plenty of that kind of stuff happening in league, I'm sure.
Who was one of those players that you tried to get under their skin?
Well, Bernie Larkin was always, because he was the ringleader.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I tackled him and then I'd just lay on top of him and then, you know, you'd a few little elbows to the throat and those sort of other things. Or if he was in a ruck or a moor, you know, a couple of rabbit punches here and there. And
couple of little rabbit punches, he reckons. I didn't realise you were that type of player, Toto.
No, never.
Actually, who was the dirtiest player you actually come up against?
Oh, mate, South Africans were always the dirtiest. But also the French. Back in the old days, the French were terrible. They were renowned. They would grab the testes. As they were running past, they would accidentally fall on you and knee you in the head. Stuff like that.
Last one from me. State of Origin being the pinnacle of rugby league. You managed to watch the women's game last night?
No, I didn't.
Well,
I didn't even get on.
Thought I'd break the news, mate. With the Blues have taken the trophy, winning game 2, and it will be a clean sweep with game 3 on its way. But the Blues girls got up over the Maroons.
What was the score?
26-6. It was a wet game.
It was a clinic out there for the Blues girls.
Yeah, we had a few of the Indonesian players like Salatonga Tuki and Samai Matalfa who ran amok. So up the Blues.
Oh, well. We'll just wait till the next Origin, eh?
Well, we got the men's.
Well, that's what
up.
He was saying. That's what he's referring to, yeah. I believe.
I don't think it's going to be any different.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But big man, love your work, and we'll tune in next week and get some more of your insights.
Always a pleasure, boys.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
All right, it's this time of the week where we get to choose a couple of teams here from Rugby Union and Rugby League for our tipping comp. Tell you how we're going here after what's the score update?
13-12. Toops got you a double and I
Toops
I
got
lost.
Me back.
I didn't get one last weekend. I went the drawer who got pumped by the Blues and Newcastle who were leading and then they lost to Gold Coast Titans. So I was like, how did you lose to the Titans, man? But anyway, let's start again.
It's a new week, and I should have also mentioned as well that because we've picked teams previously, we can't pick them again. So we're at that, especially for rugby, we're at that pointy end.
And the loser at the end of the season has to buy a jersey.
A
jersey for the winner.
I've got you a good jersey too. I'm already conceding defeat, but I've got you a good jersey.
No, it's the winner's choice.
Oh, sorry. You can't. But you'll like this one.
I already know which one. It's those old ones that you don't want to wear anymore.
It's one of my Paddy's school jerseys. You could have that one.
No,
there we go.
No chance in the world.
All right, who are you going this week?
In rugby league, I'm actually going the Eels. I know I mentioned earlier.
Ooh, okay.
The Eels will win, but I'll tip the Eels to beat the Knights because...
Yeah, because you're dirty against the Knights for not getting up last week.
Yeah, and Mitch Moses, they're a different team. Zach Lomax is back. So both of those two boys will be playing for blue spots. And I don't think there would be a better opportunity to pick the Eels because of if they lose Mitchell Moses to the Blues...
Yes.
He's out for this Origin period. So I'm going the Eels... And in rugby, actually, you go rugby league first.
Yeah, you know what I like about you too? You're really methodical in the way you decide things. I feel like you actually really plan ahead, whereas me, I'm just like first thought that comes into my head. Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah, so
we're a bit different in that sense. But I think I can't go against what I already said earlier. I want to stick with the Cowboys
to beat the Manly Seagulls.
Yeah, in Townsville. I'm just going to go that one.
That's a big one. That is a big one. Rugby Union, I can only pick the Force to beat the draw. So,
it's not a bad one. It's not a bad one. I think the Force, what they do have for them, two best second rowers in the game at the moment. So, line out time, they are stealing a lot of balls. So, if it comes down to that part of the game, I think you might be right there.
Well, if I had to pick between the draw and the Force, I'd probably go the Force off the back of last weekend's performance, draw's performance. So,
well, the Force didn't play well against the Brumbies either, so it's slim pickings there.
Means you didn't talk about them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, perfect on them. Again, the only one I can choose is the Waratahs against the Crusaders because I haven't chosen the Waratahs. The only positive is the fact that Waratahs haven't lost at home this year. They've lost all their away games. So,
well, they've also lost... Swali'i.
Oh, yes, that's why he's out for all of Super. We wish him well. Hope he gets better soon and ready for the Lions series. But that's us done for Nijan Footy Fridays. Make sure you tell your mates about our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Safe travels, Sammy. I'll see you on Monday.
See you on Monday.
And ka kite to all our listeners. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.